We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we again approach your throne of grace, holding out empty hands, pleading with thee to fill them with the precious word which is able to save our souls. We pray that you reveal the treasures which are hidden in and to us, strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verses 22 through 26, like unto me. At this time, we're going to read through the text and then a few random thoughts. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him ye shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and to thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So a few random thoughts. It is nonetheless amazing that the Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit communicate with us. And who would have thought? But they do it, first of all, through the creation. And this is called the natural knowledge of God. And the key verses are Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So, natural knowledge is not enough to save us, but it is enough to condemn us if we reject it. And anyone who has a brain or eyes that even begin to see, when they look at the world that we're living in, should come to the conclusion that these things didn't just happen. There's an almighty, powerful God who created these things. And so all creation is a witness that there is a God who created these things. And it would be our duty then to search for that God. And the promise is, seek and ye shall find. But so many don't do that. And then the truth of the matter is, though, that God does even more. It's not just the creation. And you look at the heathen world, you know, heathen gods for, I think, all the time are terrifying gods. They rule by fear. And some even demand sacrifice from their little babies. Well, the Lord God reveals himself as a God of love, and he sacrifices his son for us. and he contacts us through the spoken word. This is amazing. The almighty, powerful God who created all things contacts us through his word and individually. We all have a copy of Scripture. Anytime we want, we can read it. And this is God contacting us individually. It's almost unbelievable that the almighty, powerful God who created all these things is interested in you and me. That's amazing. And the message is one of love, the promised seed. When all is said and done, every single one of us really has only one problem. But it's a big one. And it's a problem of sin. And God has dealt with that by sacrificing his only begotten Son. The promised seed, that promise was given back in Eden's garden to Adam and Eve and to us. And it is a blessed truth that Adam and Eve, I believe, when you look at Scripture closely, they never lived one night on this earth without having the promise of a Savior. He was going to deliver them from eternal punishment in hell. Christ's kingdom is a kingdom of glory. For children, the children of God were brought into the family, members of the family. A bride of Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. And it's all given to us, the personal contact with the Holy Bible. I've noticed that so much of the Bible is able to be understood when you relate it to the family unit. And what a blessing it is for children of God who marry and have their own children to be able to teach them that they have a God of love and that they're going to live forever in his kingdom. And that the days on this earth are just very, very few in number. But there's a better place coming, and it's going to last for all eternity. What a blessing it is for parents that are godly parents to be able to tell their little ones that the God who loves them is in full control of every single thing that happens. And there are no accidents in this world. It's all under control. And everything that God gives you in your life is a blessing. You don't have to be afraid of anything. And God has given you guardian angels to keep watch over you day and night. What a blessing it is. What a terrible contrast with the heathen people who have to take their little ones and sacrifice them to this vicious God and then hope it does some good. The covenant, and then this is the sermon that Peter is giving to these people that have witnessed the man that was crippled being healed. And he's pointing out their sin to them and telling them to repent. And he talks about the covenant which was made with Abraham. And in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. So Abraham has two kinds of children. He has physical children that are his physical descendants. But he also has spiritual children who are not his by blood, but they have the same faith given them by the Holy Spirit that Abraham had. And we are children of the prophets. So Peter mentions one of the big VIPs in history of the Jewish people. You have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, those were three tremendously big names. But you also have Moses. And Moses was also huge in the history of the children of Israel. All the miracles that Moses did. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, the Holy Spirit gives us this. This is God talking. I will raise them up a prophet from the midst of their brethren, like unto thee, the thee is Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him, shall command him, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So Moses makes this prophecy. He wrote it. He wrote the first five books of the Bible. And this is Deuteronomy that we're quoting from here. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. And how often they made a wrong application of this. Because they bragged to Moses, or to Jesus, oh, we follow Moses. Yeah, not you. We follow Moses. And they missed the fact that Jesus was the prophet that God gave them like unto Moses. They missed it. There has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him, for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. You can see why he was a big name in their history. He's the one that God used to deliver them from Pharaoh and the Egyptians and gave them their freedom. And you know the story of the plagues, the 10 plagues that came to Egypt in 1 year. And you know the story of the Red Sea, the parting of the waters, and the destruction of Pharaoh's army, the most powerful army in the world. You know that. And they knew it. And they never forgot it. But the three little words, like unto me. So this is what Moses told them. And so the question would be, how was Jesus like unto Moses? And the answer would be, in so many ways. Here are a few examples, just to perhaps scratch the surface a little bit. Both Moses and Jesus were in danger shortly after they were born. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, we read this. Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, he shall cast into the river, and every daughter he shall save alive. So when Moses was born, by edict of Pharaoh, he should have been drowned in the Nile. but he had godly parents who feared the Lord God more than the wicked king. Jesus in Matthew chapter 2, 13 and 14, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night," a night journey, "and departed into Egypt." So, like unto Moses, there are parallels in the life of Jesus with those in the life of Moses. One key thing, which we're going to touch on later on, both Moses and Jesus were rejected by their own people. Surprise, surprise. But that happened. Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years with Jesus, and during those 40 years, he was persecuted by his people. They hated him. At times, they even wanted to stone him. "The Lord shall raise up a prophet unto thee of thy brethren like unto me, and to me is Moses." Jesus, you know the story of Jesus. When he was born into the world, Herod tried to kill him. He was hated by his own brothers and sisters. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. He had a rough childhood. His whole ministry was filled with anger and hatred. Everywhere he went, they hounded him. After his first sermon in Nazareth, they tried to kill him. And his 3-year ministry, it was one thing after the other. Oh, it's true at first that he was followed by a lot of people. But a lot of those people had what we call a miracle faith. They saw miracles he was doing and they followed him and believed him. But it didn't last very long. And the crowds went away very, very quickly. He still had a following, but it kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller until finally all of his 12 disciples, apostles, forsook him and fled. Moses and Jesus both had a trial that lasted 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was on top of Mount Sinai and talking with God face to face. And when the 40 days and 40 nights were over, Moses went down and he found his people worshiping the golden calf. And he had the tables of stone in his hands and he threw them down and broke them. God made 2 more tables of stone. But Jesus, he was on the Mount of Temptation for 40 days and 40 nights. No food, no water, and tempted by Lucifer, the devil. And the battle was won right there during those 40 days and 40 nights of temptation, like unto Moses. Both Moses and Jesus were shepherds. Moses was a good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And that famous happening that you can't forget this, it's recorded in Exodus chapter 3, opening verses. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert." The picture here is that he was as far away from human activity as you could get. Unlike his first 40 years of his life where he lived down in Egypt and was raised mostly by Pharaoh's daughter. Right in the middle of everything. Now he's at the backside of the desert. As far away from civilization as you can get. But then it happened. He came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And Moses looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. The Hebrew has, it's a thorn bush. Jesus had a crown of thorns on his head, you know that. And the bush was not consumed. He rose from the dead. And so Moses was sent by God back to free the people. Now he's 80 years old and he didn't really want to go. He was ready when he was 40, but that was the wrong time. Now he's 80. He doesn't want to go. God said, you're going to go. Well, when I do go and tell them that God appeared to me and sent me to free them, they're going to say, what God is he? What's his name? What should I tell him? It's by the burning bush. And God said, my name is I Am. I am that I am. The Lord will raise up unto you a prophet like unto Moses. Seven times in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus talked about the great I Am. And one of them is, I am the Good Shepherd, like unto Moses. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus appeared in somewhat of his glorified state, Moses was there also. And so was Elijah. Moses, a representative of the law, and Elijah, a representative of the prophets. Moses' life was in three 40-year segments, 40, 40, 40. And Jesus' ministry took place in 3 years, like unto Moses. Moses was a picture of health when he died. He didn't need glasses. He didn't need hearing aids. He had all of his physical capacities just as he had when he was in his prime. And the Son of God, when he finally crossed that great gulf that nobody else could cross, he went from hell where he suffered back into this world, and he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And he was strong and powerful. Moses gave them manna from heaven, and they never forgot about that. We got
Moses.
Well, Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven. My Father gave you that. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Moses died alone on the top of a mountain. They searched for him, but they never found the body. And Jesus was alone in hell for the 3 hours of darkness. The law is good. Let's remember that. I always thought when I was little that, God has these commandments and I can't keep them and God's angry with me. But Jesus comes and says, well, I'll keep the commandments for you and just forget about it. But that's not the way it is. The law is good. And Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law. I came to keep it. And if you want a happy life, follow the law, the Ten Commandments, and the laws of God. That's going to give you the happy life. The law is good. The Father loves us. He's not angry with us. And there's the law and gospel which agree with each other. I can't end the sermon without one more comparison. And it's a comparison where Moses and Jesus are alike. And this is what God said, I will raise up a prophet from thy brethren like unto Moses. Okay, so when Moses was in the wilderness, At one time, there was a tremendous insurrection. And it was a big one. There were a lot of times when they wanted to kill Moses, but this time was the biggie. And it was headed by three men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And they had, I think, 250 princes that went with them. And this was a big one. And it's recorded by Moses under the guidance of the Holy Spirit in Numbers chapter 16. And I'm going to read it. The words of the Holy Spirit. Numbers chapter 16, beginning at verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is in the middle of this big insurrection where they're going to depose Moses and get rid of him. And God spake to Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. These guys are living in their tents. I want you to get away from them. Some of you are neighbors living right next door. Get away from them. Get you up from about the tabernacle, the tent of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So for once they obeyed. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. Here is a very touching verse. When you read through this thing, you can never forget it. Okay, so they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. This is a family situation. Father, mother, children, and some little children. Remember that. And Moses said, hereby shall ye know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, if they die of old age or whatever, got sick, then I have not told, I've not said this. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. I'm a liar, which is what you're accusing me of. But if the Lord make a new thing, something that's never happened before, well, we've seen a bunch of things that all the plagues down in Egypt, they were pretty bad, and the parting of the waters of the Red Sea and the wiping out of Pharaoh's soldiers, it was pretty bad. What could this be? If the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick. Behold, I come quickly. And they come down quick into the pit. then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And they were screaming and crying when they went down. This had never happened before. It was something new. But it's going to happen again in a greater way. The Lord will raise up from among you a prophet like unto Moses. And that prophet is Jesus Christ. And, you know, the scribes especially should have remembered what was written in the book of Numbers. They should have remembered that. I call them the seminary professors. It was their job to teach scripture and make copies of it. And when they were copying Numbers chapter 16, they should have remembered that touching scene of Dathan and Abiram standing in the door of their tents with their wives and their children and their little babies. They should have remembered that. And they should have remembered that the earth swallowed them up. And they went down screaming and crying in anguish. And a fire from the Lord came to devour. How could you copy that and not remember it? But they rejected the one that was like unto Moses. And there is a day coming when it's going to be even worse than it was for Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And we're in the middle of what we call the Lenten season right now. And we've seen how whole nation, except for that very small remnant, rose up against Jesus. We will not have this man to rule over us. We follow Moses. Well, not this guy. Let his blood be upon us and upon our children. That's what they said. And when this happens, it's going to happen at the set time, and it's going to happen very, very quickly, just like it did back in the wilderness when the earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and Abiram and everything that they had. Only this is going to be much worse. King of kings and Lord of lords will destroy the enemy of God and the enemy of his bride and put them down into the fiery pit forever. And there's a great gulf fixed which they cannot cross.